12. That's not good. Verse 23. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the lilies. No, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and yet God feedeth them. How much more are you better than they, the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit? Add to a stature one cubit. If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? We're going to look at the word body for a minute. Life is psyche, or suki, suchi. Food is what it's translated meat there, but it's trophy, where we get the word trophy, but it's food. Yeah. And then the body is soma. Now occasionally, soma, it just means your body, but or anything's body, but occasionally, in fact, it's translated as slave. Let's go to Revelation 18 a minute.
Did you say slave?
Slave. The body is translated as a slave. Revelation 18. This is the whole idea of the destruction of Babylon. It says, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived delicately, is what it says, not deliciously.
Which verse are you?
Verse 9. Revelation 18, verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived delicately with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment is come." And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and of marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men.
So this is what they sold in the marketplace?
No, that's what the merchants of the earth, no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. But it's have a far greater meaning than that. And again, everything that I know about the Bible, the only thing that meets all the standards of what Revelation, of the whole mystery of Babylon, that all men are seduced, all men commit fornication by her. Let's look at one other one. Let's go to Revelation 17. Well, it's right there. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth, or the kings doesn't mean, it just means important people of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon scarlet-colored beasts full of names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And then it goes on, talks about the seven mountains on which she sits. All people have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Every single person has lived by cause and effect. That's why every single person wanders after the beast, because the beast is themselves. Now, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, because of the fall, you wander after yourself. Now, it says here that in 1 hour, is thy judgment come. It doesn't mean an hour long, 60 minutes. It means in one instant of time. Now, that's what has to happen in you. Judgment must first begin at the temple of God, you. You must see that every time you use cause and effect for any reason, you're committing fornication with the whore. All nations, it's the only reason that people, it's the only reason there's merchandise and sales, and especially in English, it's the whole language of ownership. Got to see that to come out of her, my people, come out of her, touch not the unclean thing any longer. But what do? How do I live? You live by faith. Well, what happens if? Well, you might as well find that out now before we find it out after death. If all this is a fairy tale, we better find it out now. But anyway, the point of it is, here in verse 13 of Revelation 18, the word soma, or bodies, is translated slaves. Let's go to Romans 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, what does it mean to be dead to sin? It means to be dead to you. If you believe me that sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. I think I can prove it in 1,000 ways if you're interested. Then how can you possibly continue using sin for your livelihood or for your whatever? God forbid, how that shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that the like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in notice, the only, we shall be also resurrection, that's what it says, in the likeness of is all in. But the conditional phrase there is if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
Is that the word ice there, or if? It's the word ice, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's meaningless if you're if you haven't accepted the death. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve the sin person. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live by means of him, is what it says. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but as he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through or by the means of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we also were not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not to whom you yield yourselves servants or slaves to obey? His servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You've never been anything other than a slave. So if you yield your members, and the way you yield your members unto sin is by resurrecting this thing. Using it because you think you have to. Now, this is something I know a whole lot about. And what I also know about is his faithfulness. His faithfulness. All right, let's look at one more. Let's go to Ephesians 6.
In this case, the word servant in verse 16 is the word body. Is the word soul?
No.
No.
It's the regular word for slave. I'm just showing you. Sometimes it's translated. Okay. Soul must translate as slave. All right.
What
chapter 6, Ephesians. Chapters, verse, starting verse 5. Let's go in verse 5. Servants or slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in righteous and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Now we don't have slaves anymore, but you have bosses. The same thing applies. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters or bosses, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any, there is their respective persons with him. Now the whole idea is, no matter what situation you're in, whatever you do, it says unto the Lord and not as unto men. You, but you can't continue in sin that grace may abound. You can't continue in this thing and think that you're going to receive anything, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go back to Luke 12. Anybody have any response to any of that? You understand that you've never been anything other than a slave.
What about as resurrected in Christ?
Then you're a slave to God. Okay, verse 23. Back to Luke.
12:23.
The life is more than food, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Now, ravens are interesting. They're the first bird mentioned in the Bible. In Genesis, well, let's go there, Genesis 8, just so you can see it. Verse 1, let's just start in verse 1. This is their, they've been on the flood for 150 days. They've just discovered a Babylonian shard that has on it this flood story from long before Moses. And it talks about the boat being built, and it gives the exact specifications. But the boat is interesting, and the directions, and it gives the how much wood and stuff, but it doesn't say what it looks like. In the Babylonian chart, it's round. It's a round boat, which was common. And it had several stories, and but it's a different God speaking to the guy, and the guy has a different name. It's Arabic, obviously, but it's the same story.
Is this a part of the Gilgamesh? This is different, right?
Well, it's the Gilgamesh thing is makes reference to it, but this is the first time it's been the specifications and everything.
Was this like in the past few years?
The past few days.
Wow, amazing.
What'd they find?
A shard of
writing.
A shard.
From Babylonian times, and it gives the exact dimensions of the ark, except it's a circle, which was a common boat, and there are many people that think that there are people that think that the ark, the way we normally see it, couldn't have stayed afloat in the conditions. But now the guys are saying that the ark, the circle thing, can stay afloat. Now, also in the Talmud, remember, this is pretty early on. This is in the history of this new creation. And there were two things that were brought onto the ark, according to the Talmud. One was something, this mysterious light called the Zohar. And in fact, it put all the animals into a state of suspended animation. And they had no need to eat or drink or anything. And the other thing that was brought, but that Noah had, that Noah possessed, was the two garments that God had made for Adam and Eve. And those garments, remember later, Nimrod stole that garment from Esau. Esau had it, and Nimrod stole it. And but anyway, the two garments from Adam and Eve were both made by God, and so they, and the stories all over the place say that whoever had those, possessed those garments, controlled not just the animals, but they controlled men. And so Noah had the two garments on the ark that controlled the animals, and it was that by means of those two garments that they were able to get these wild animals to be on the, get on the ark in the first place. And it also says they came two by two, the same as Noah's story. But anyway, that's just an aside. And then the first verse of chapter 8 is, if we, those of you who have been here, remember when we studied this. And God remembered Noah. Remembered is Zakar. And it doesn't mean just he thought about him. It means he thought about him, but then he took the action at exactly the appropriate time and the appropriate action. So it, what we all are praying for is that God remembers, but you have to, here, would you have the faith to build the ark if he told you that it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights and you'd never seen rain? Well, we've never seen eternity. But you have the faith to believe that we live in eternity, that there is no time, that there is no need, there is no want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're at the first source of all things. You've been perfected by one offering forever. Or do you still believe that lying thing, that lying whore called your mind? So here, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, as on the seventh day of the month upon the mounts of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the tenth month. In the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark which he had made and sent forth a raven. That's the first time the raven, his first bird mentioned in the Bible, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him, into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him, into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. So the raven, don't know what happened to the raven. Some say Satan got a hold of him, but anyway, that's another story.
But let's look some more. Let's look at Job. No, let's look at...
So how long were they in the ark? 40 days, 150 days?
Oh, no, they were in the ark over a year, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, quite a while.
But I don't remember. I don't have those in front of me. All right, go to Job 38. The whole of all of Job, or most of Job's 48, 30, I mean, the first part is challenging Job, and then in a whole series of verses, he shows him his ignorance. If you want to be shown your ignorance, read the whole chapter. But anyway, let's just start in verse 31, since it's something we are very familiar with if you've been here long. Can thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or can thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now, that series of verses. Can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? The idea is that the stars reveal the sign. The word Maseroth means zodiac. And that's why the Magi were so immersed in this mystery of a coming king. They were experts, not in astrology, which is sickness, but in this mystery of the stars showed with great specificity the purpose of time and space through the zodiac, the signs of the zodiac. We've got them all. If you're interested, they're all on tape. Each of the signs and each of the three sub signs and what they mean. And then continuing, verse 34: Can thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Can thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetites of the young lions, when they crouch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provided for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of food. Anyway, I just want to show you a couple other places where ravens are talked about. Go to Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healed the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth or counts the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and great in, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked one down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving and praise upon the harp of our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, and who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope and only in his mercy. All right, that's enough for about ravens.
Aren't the ravens symbolic of God? Doesn't withhold from the good or the evil is.
Wait, what now?
I'm trying to figure the symbolism of a raven. I mean, we're a whole bunch about a raven, but what makes it special that it's called out among birds?
Well. Well, there's no, we don't know whether the raven is a positive bird or not. What we think about, probably we don't think of them as a positive bird because they're scavengers.
Scavengers, they're black.
And they, the ravens are mean mothers. If you ever get near a raven's nest, they have.
Dots on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. But you'll do the same. Dove will do the same thing.
Blue jays.
So I can't answer this right now. I forgot what the raven is symbolic of.
Well, I was just thinking how God treats the raven decent, no matter what.
All right, we'll look at sowing and reaping tomorrow, and it doesn't have anything to do with money.
Yeah.
All right, take a big bite.